Gentlemen, the Civil Service Board meeting for July 28th, 2015 is now called to order. I would ask you to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we'll have our roll call.
Chairman Dennis Reichardt.
Here.
Vice Chair Curtis Stout.
Here.
Commissioner Dan Carlone.
Here.
Commissioner Evelyn Alexander.
Here.
Also present, we have Henry Impeño from the City Attorney's Office.
Our first item for today is public comments, item AA. Do we have any comments? I don't see anybody in the audience. So our next item is item AB, approve agenda additions. Do we have any additions today?
There are no agenda additions.
Moving on to our consent calendar, I would ask for a motion that consent calendar items A1 and A2 be adopted. Would any of the commissioners like to pull any of the items for discussion?
Yes, I'd like to pull the minutes. For just
Commissioner Alexander?
Mainly a question on the July 15th meeting minutes.
Okay.
That's when the hearing.
Pardon me?
That was the hearing, right?
What?
The hearing?
Yeah, that was the hearing minutes. In the vote, it does indicate I voted no, which, you know, I agree. But how do we indicate that I agreed with the other commissioners on one charge but voted no on the other charge?
Counsel?
It's not that important because the outcome is the same. But
the minutes reflect what was said out in open session at the hearing. The chair's report of the action taken are the words that are stated in the minutes.
Okay.
The fact that there's more details behind that action would not be appropriate to put into the minutes here because it wasn't stated in open session by the chairman in his report.
So I should have challenged what he said at the time. I'm teasing. No, but I mean, you know, I was just wondering how it would be reflected. I don't have a problem with it. Just
and this matter is still on the board's agenda for today. We are scheduled to discuss this matter in closed session, and so we could discuss how the matter should be reported. If you do make a decision, take action in closed session today, how it should be reported today.
All righty.
Okay, if I can have that motion. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. That ends our consent calendar for today. Our next item is item A3, a request by the Chief of Police, Police Department to approve testing standards for community engagement officer. I would ask for a motion that the request be approved to establish testing standards for the community engagement officer job classification to civil service application review and civil service supplemental questionnaire review. If I can have the motion.
So moved.
A second?
Just a question. Is this a new position?
It is a newly established. They just established it on July 20th.
Okay. All right. That's all I have. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, we have item A4, a request by the Deputy General Manager, Water Department, to approve testing standards for information technology specialist. I would ask for a motion that the request be approved to establish testing standards for the information technology specialist job classification to civil service application review, civil service supplemental questionnaire review, and Civil Service Oral Board. If I can have that motion.
Still move.
Second. Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Our next item is A5, correspondence. Do we have any correspondence today?
No correspondence.
Okay, moving on to item A6. The Civil Service Board of Commissioners regular meeting and hearing setting configuration, which we've all looked at. Any discussion?
Well, I had, through the chair, I had originally suggested possibly when we get a full board, the new commissioner sit next to Dan. But then during the hearing, I realized then Dan would not be able to see, you know, the witness if we were in this room, so that wouldn't work. But it was just my thought that so often when Rebecca is speaking to us, she'll kind of speak this way, and I think kind of forgets that commissioner at the far end, you know.
Not intentionally.
I don't feel forget.
No, I know, but it's happened with other chief examiners, you know. I started with Mike when I first came on, and then Kelly. It's just kind of natural that you swing little ways where there's more commissioners. But paying attention during the last hearing, it would be difficult for Dan then to see the witness the way we have them now. But also, you know, when Lloyd Roberts came on board, he suggested putting the witness used to stand, the witness used to sit next to you, and the former commissioner suggested that he didn't feel that was right, and so then we put the witness down below, which I'm not all that comfortable with. It's on a little table. There's a notebook and the mic, and they may have water or whatever, and it's kind of awkward. So
to see them. Well, that's this revised seating chart based on the request to have discussion about that would move the witness up to this seat. So we would be moving down this way. Everybody would be shifting one seat over, and that last seat, if the hearing were to be held in this room, the witness would be moved up to the podium. If we were in another room, the seating configuration would be the same as it was at the last hearing for the police department. So that's really what's before you. If you want to change the seating arrangement that would enable this, or if you want to do something different.
I like this, and the reason I like it a lot is because this chair, recently the cable underneath is pulled up so close that I can't even stretch out my legs, and it ate my finger already when I went around like
this. So now Henry's going to sit there.
Wow. So it's up so close for me, I just assume it's a chance. So a small Henry reason. But poor Henry, you're a big guy too. Yeah.
My legs.
And something I do have to say, when I first came on this board, my seat happened to be exactly where you're sitting now. And I sat right next to the witness. At first it was kind of uncomfortable, but then it got to the point where you can really see what's going on in their eyes and their body language and everything, whoever sits in that seat. It's uncomfortable, but I got used to it, and I really kind of like that, having that close-up view of them. So, but that's just me, neither here nor there. But I would like to make the move myself, you know, depending on how the board feels.
I'd like to ask Dan a question on the last hearing that we had. Could you see the witness?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see him fine.
But see, what I was thinking, if the commissioner was sitting in the next chair, he's going to have to look around commissioner.
Right.
You know, you'll have to look around who's ever sitting in that chair to see that. Yeah.
I'm comfortable with the way it is now. I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
You don't mind being by yourself?
No.
I like the idea.
Next to Henry, so.
And I'm fine either way. It's really what the preference of the board is. So we can do the shift or leave it the same. And really the question then before you is, do you want to move the witness up to the podium if the hearings are in this room, or have them continue to be down below at the eye level of the...
I think down below is the place to put them. I think have them up here with us is just a little strange.
Yeah.
If I can ask, in that past situation, was the witness in what we call the well? Mm-hmm. This is the area between the dais for the city attorney, city manager, city clerk, and the mayor and council. The well area, was that where the witness was sitting at a small table?
No, I'm talking about where we have them.
Over there.
Yeah, correct.
There is an opportunity to put them right here in the very middle.
I think that would be hard on a witness.
it would focus the attention of the board right there in the center, and then you would have a small table.
Shine some lights on them, you know, just like.
Because the microphone is portable, right? The microphone can be moved.
Yeah, the microphone is portable. The only challenge associated with that is the questions are coming from the representatives, and so it will be hard for the witness to both be directing their attention to the board as well as who's inquiring or asking questions of. So that would be the only challenge, I think, if we had them in the center, is which direction are they facing to the person asking them the question or looking at the board.
Yeah.
But it's really up to the board in terms of how you would like it to be configured.
Yeah. Rebecca, do you have a preference as to trying to meet upstairs regularly. I know that's much easier on your staffing if we're upstairs.
That would be much easier if we can secure the room and the board would be open to that. I think for hearings it works much simpler from a staffing and a recording standpoint. It's also with the microphones having been turned up for council meetings, it makes it more likely that there can be, it's projecting loudly and you can hear to some degree out in the hall. And so I think that it would be nicer if we were in a more confined space if the board is comfortable with that. And if you're comfortable with moving everything permanently up there, we can see about the space for the fourth floor conference room.
I was just thinking staff-wise, it would be so much easier staff-wise if we met up there all the time, because this way we always have two people involved from the staff and we only have three, right?
Yes. If from a staffing perspective and recording, it would be much simpler to be in that smaller space.
I have no preference.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Fine.
Yeah.
Do we need a motion to investigate the possibility of securing the room on a permanent basis?
We have a motion.
I'm asking.
It's up to the board if you want to take formal action. It's on your agenda, and you can. You could just also, by consensus, give direction to the chief examiner to confirm the availability and your preference in relocating to that.
Let's do that then.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be so much easier for staff.
Yeah.
She ran herself ragged last time when Letty was on vacation.
Okay, that works for me. I'll investigate that and bring it back to confirm at the next meeting. And then as far as your seating arrangement, you do want the witness, if we are in this room, to remain down below. Is that the consensus of the board?
I believe that's
right. And you don't want to, do you want to shift everybody's seats over as it's presented here, or simply put the new person next to Evelyn?
I prefer to shift because of the situation. I can't even stretch my legs out like this.
But wouldn't it be better if they had to witness up there for you? You could hear them better.
Well, if we try to shift upstairs all the time, it wouldn't make any difference. If we could secure upstairs all the time.
It won't.
But if you're hearing, if you have the hearing here, you would prefer having the witnesses up there, right?
Oh, I just tell them they have to speak louder.
Yeah.
Now, I can hear everybody today because the mic is great today, but during a hearing, this may be too loud. It might go out.
Which is
the
what
lobby.
We had to do. We had to turn down the volume
during
because
the
it was projecting too loudly into the hall.
Yeah. Maybe we should just stick with what we have here, because if I'm going to be in the seat for many hours, that's when it bothers me. But just for a meeting, it's, you know, no big deal, an hour, 2 hours. So we can just stay with what we have right now and continue with our witness down there. And we'll go ahead and have you, Rebecca, find out what we can do with upstairs.
Well, now I'm confused. Are we going to try to move upstairs on a permanent basis?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. She's going to research that.
Okay.
Okay? All right. That concludes item A6. Our next item is item A7, a monthly report from the chief examiner.
All right. So in your packets, you had a summary of what was occurring during the month of June. I noticed that the grayscaled or black and white copies on your graphs didn't come through very well, and so I was going to redistribute these so that you have a good copy and actually can see the numbers on the graphs.
Uh-huh.
So I do have a copy. It's the exact same information. It's just a better... so that you can actually see the information there. But just really quickly, during the month of June, the fiscal year 2015-16 budget was approved by Mayor and Common Council. That was at the end of June. And there was an increase in the civil service budget that was primarily related to internal service charges and the allocation for every department. There was a redistribution this year, so that resulted in an increase. We also changed our part-time human resources analysts to allow for more flexibility and have two part-time human resources technicians or lower for no increase in cost to allow that flexibility. So overall spending for the department didn't increase other than those internal service charges and other fees related to CalPERS retirement, unemployment insurance premiums, and the like. So that's just kind of in a nutshell what's going on financially. With respect to operations, we had 19 eligibility lists certifying 108 candidates during the month of June, with 13 recruitments that remained in progress at month end. The departments that received eligibility lists included community development, the fire department, parks and rec, police, public works, and the water department had the largest majority with 6 eligibility lists during that time frame. And then on the back, you can just see a quick summary. For the fourth quarter of fiscal year, a comparison between 2013 and 14 and fiscal year 2014-15 in terms of new recruitments open and eligibility lists issued. And then the bottom graph just gives you a quick summary of a comparison between our two fiscal years in terms of total recruitment. So I would certainly welcome any questions you have relative to that. In addition to the standard monthly report that was issued, I did want to provide you with an update based upon the funding allocation by Mayor and Common Council for SEBITA, the San Bernardino Employment and Training Agency. Funding was allocated through the end of July, which is the 31st, given that reduction in force notifications were issued to all personnel in the department. That's a total of 21 personnel that were notified, including 10 full-time and the remaining part-time, with the effective date of their separations being August 1st. There is a special meeting scheduled tomorrow night at 5 o'clock to address SEBITA, and so if no further action is taken, the layoffs will proceed accordingly. If further funding is allocated, they may take some additional action, and those notices could be rescinded or a portion of them. So that's the status of that program currently, and I just wanted you to be aware of that was something that we had been involved with as a department. During the month of June, we did research 226 files regarding seniority and preparation for the various departments that have been identified for possible contracting services and the like, so that we make sure that we have information available if any further action is taken. So that's some of the additional work that's going on in addition to the recruitments at present. And certainly I'd welcome any questions that you may have regarding activities of the department.
On the under operations of the Public Works Department, we had one eligibility list. And then the council almost did not approve an engineer position. What would have happened if that would have come out a negative? Well, it was because they were hiring them at a higher step. Would Public Works then probably re-offered him a position at a lower thing, or would he just, do you suppose he would have just walked away? It was a degreed position. They didn't want to pay the money for it, in my opinion. But I was just wondering what the process would be if a name was involved, if the person was not approved by council.
It depends on what action council took. At the prior council meeting, there was a similar situation with a appointment at a higher than a step one. They revised the motion and stated that they would approve the appointment at a step one, not the step that was recommended. So if that's the action that they took, then the department could go back and reissue the offer letter with the adjusted salary as approved by council. So it really depends on the action that's
what they did. Okay. And then also they didn't approve all our the weeding of all our materials either that we had authorized, and because of audits, which items that we were authorizing to have discarded were way before the audits. I thought that was interesting that they...
Yes, and thank you for reminding me, Evelyn. That was the other thing I did need to provide you with an update. We did get approval after some much discussion to proceed with the destruction of our recruitment records, which would have been any of the applications and correspondence with candidates. But we did not get approval to destroy the department copies of any financial records, financially related records. So we will retain those. That was relatively small number of boxes in terms of the majority of the materials that we have to destroy our recruitment records, which is about 124 boxes as compared to the two that are simply the duplicate copies for invoices and the like. So we'll retain those as we did not receive approval for their destruction.
That was certainly quite a discussion. I watched it. You did an exceptional job up there. I just don't think that everybody had a real understanding of exactly what you were saying, and you can't stop a council person and correct them. So
yeah.
You did a very good job, and at least we got most of it done.
The majority, which was the important,
the big stuff. Yeah.
The big stuff. And so I was glad that we were able to proceed with that. So that was a good thing. So anyway, we are proceeding down the path of moving out those boxes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No.
On Savita, 21, all 21 is going to be displaced or laid off or whatever you want to call it?
Yes.
Are there any of the in the HR area? What's any of the trainees in the HR area?
So most of the positions are very specific to the department. So the bumping is confined within the department. If they have a shared job title, they would have an option for reemployment in another department if there's a vacancy that would exist. And they only have a couple of positions that have titles that are shared currently by other departments, which would include like their office assistant, administrative assistant classifications. So those personnel, if there are vacancies that occur elsewhere, before they would hire off of any open eligibility list, they would have to first consider those displaced workers. So that will be an option for them. But the majority of their full-time workforce are either unclassified, they have two unclassified, or in the classified service, so they're very specific to like the workforce program managers. And those are not positions that we have in any other division. So certainly they'll be on a reemployment list should anything change with funding for Sabita, and they could be called back at that point in time. But presently there aren't those positions elsewhere in the organization. Now, many of them would qualify and have been encouraged to apply for other positions as we begin recruitments for them, but it's just not an automatic placement.
It's not a bump in the tree.
Right.
Okay.
So, and then the part-time personnel are primarily workforce participants. So it was getting them back and retraining them. So those wouldn't necessarily be, automatic placements either.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. I would ask for a motion that the activity report for June 2015 and the personnel action summary report for July 20th, 2015 be received and filed, if I can have that motion.
So moved, Chair.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Our next item is A8, closed session. I would ask for a motion that the Civil Service Board recess to closed session for the following: personnel issue pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 in the matter of Appellant P1504-2. If I can have the motion.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've just returned from closed session in the matter of Appellant P1504-2. Our conclusion was by a unanimous vote, the board finds that the allegations of violation of department or division work rules are not sustained, and by a vote of 3-1, the board finds that the allegations of conduct unbecoming an officer are not sustained. The statement of decision by a 3-1 vote of the four commissioners who heard this matter, with Commissioners Carlone, Stout, and Reichardt voting yes, and Commissioner Alexander voting no, the Civil Service Board of the City of San Bernardino does hereby order as follows. The decision of the San Bernardino Police Department to suspend 20 hours of no pay and 20 hours held in abeyance for 1 year. Oh, got it. Can we redo it? Is rescinded, dated 28th of July, 2015. And this is concerning Appellant P1504-2. Moving on to item A9, adjournment. I'd ask for a motion that the meeting be adjourned to the regularly scheduled meeting of August 11th, 2015. If I can have that motion.
A motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
You didn't like that, huh? It comes out okay.